listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live from Las Vegas on a Monday, the aftermath day. 200 Fox Sports Radio stations across this great nation. 6 o'clock Eastern, drive time 3 here in Vegas. And man, maybe the best two games we've had all year to lead off a show. And we got the crew for it in studio. The pros who know, Brad Powers, will be talking during the second segment about college football. Everyone's saying, yeah, they got it right. Egregiously wrong, in my opinion. Wrong times 3. I don't know why times 3. Just more than just normally wrong. Also, Steve Fezzik, NFL expert. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, we start on a Monday on Straight Outta Vegas with what may have been the game of the year in the NFL in New Orleans, where it was the 49ers on a Robbie Gould field goal with a 48-46 win over the Saints.
It's fascinating you said what may have been the game of the year, because one of the things we try to do, it is about dollars and cents. If you bet to some degree, now everyone can decide how much it is. Some people bet purely recreationally. They when they win, they laugh like, "Oh, I didn't expect to win that." Which I kind of think, boy, that would be such a relief if you could just be okay losing. Except I don't think you could make it your living then, right? So it's one of those balancing acts. But as a fan, I try to remove myself from the dollars in this sense. I mean, listen, I won my best bet again. Here, I mean, you guys benefited. I could talk about that, but that just happened. I wanted to be a fan. What a game. And I came in saying, we can lead off the show with what a game. Jonas goes, I disagree. So, Jonas, the floor is yours.
Well, no, it was a great game. I personally liked Seattle-San Fran from that Monday night a little bit more, but it was definitely a fun game, and it felt like it was a game in which both coaches were trying to outdo the other one and showcase who was the better play caller.
All right, so what you're saying is there was probably a point or two when they were making a decision, go left, go right, whatever, run, pass, in which the optimal decision, the decision that would have maxed the chance to win, was one, and the showier decision was the other, and you felt like the coaches, both sides, had a bias to the show-off, showy decision.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Ooh, I would have never. You know what's interesting? I'm not sure he's wrong, because you do get caught up in it, right? If you're participating, think about the Larry Bird, Dominique duel. If you're younger, you don't remember that, look it up on YouTube. And you got to wonder, would Dominique passing a few extra times help them there? I think in general it would have for Dominique. But listen, when you're the human highlight film, you don't question people. What a great nickname, the human highlight film. I'm not. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. All right, Fez, we were arguing about this before the show. Might as well just pull back the curtains. What did you do? Now, you do the power ratings. I've often said they are as respected as any out there. I think they're the best Vegas rankings. You're making me wonder just a little bit. What did you do with these teams?
So I upgraded San Francisco by half a point, RJ. San Fran moves up to my number 3 team in the NFL. I did not adjust New Orleans' power rating. I thought it was a very high-played game on both sides.
All right. Now, I totally accept the Saints don't get downgraded for that. I totally accept it. If you look at the 49ers and you look at the recent run, we talked about this last week on the show, no team in 30-plus years of the NFL has had a record better than 800, a winning percentage better than 800, and been an underdog in two straight games. It never happened before. There was one instance where a team, I think it was the Eagles, ended up resting all their starters in week 17. It was the case, but it really wasn't applicable. So literally, you could make the case the 49ers had the toughest back-to-back game run of any elite team in 30 years. Why else would they be underdogs? Hey, that's considering the spread, everything, and they're saying, you're supposed to lose. Oh, 800-plus win percentage? Ah, doesn't matter. Loser. And then they went and played the Ravens, and played the Ravens better than anyone has since the Ravens, quite frankly, got a lot better when they traded or got Peters in there. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, strongly agree.
All right. And then they go into maybe the second or third toughest to play in the NFL, Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans. And Brad, they are even better, the Saints, when it's a big game at home. You had a trend on that.
Yeah, so we'll use that 800 winning percentage. 800 or better. The Saints were 14-1 against the spread the last 15 times at home when they're playing a team with an 800 or better winning percentage. 14-1 against the spread.
So then it's 14-2. Yes. So they're making history with the difficulty of the game. They're making history covering and winning against the Saints. And Steve goes, I mean, is that when you sigh, like kind of shrug your shoulders, what noise do you make?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's what you did. That's what you did. Now, you know what it must be? It must be they played such weak teams before that. Well, who was the games before that, Steve?
Before they played Green Bay.
Oh, and dominated them, like ran them out of the stadium. Go ahead.
Seattle.
Oh, the game that Jonas thinks was the best game of the year. Who won that one?
Yeah, Seattle won it.
Seattle won that game.
Yeah.
So they lost, but they went to... And where was that game at?
Game was home for San Fran.
So Seattle went to... I remember. That's when Kittle was out.
Yes.
Okay. So we can always make excuses. So let's call that not super impressive. How many losses do they have this year?
Three.
I don't know.
Three? Isn't it only two? You're talking Seattle or San Fran?
Seattle.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, I was talking San Fran.
Oh, yeah, two for San Fran.
Yeah. So San Fran's lost two games. How many games has Kansas City lost? You've got Kansas City.
Four.
You know what it is, Brad? You know. Fez was so right about Kansas City that he just can't take being right. He has to act like that he was more right. Like, if you give him $1 million, he's wondering why he's not getting 1.1. I mean, I promise you that. Right. And the funny thing is, you give him 50,000, he'd won 60. There's no real sense of what he really deserves. It's more. It's like in Money Never Sleeps, the Wall Street follow up. They go, how much? How many water skis? They made the reference to the old movie. He says, more. That's how Fez is, more. Right or wrong?
Correct.
But if you know it, can't you stop it?
No.
Have you tried? Have you tried?
I just love the Chiefs.
But I asked you, did you hear my question?
Yes.
Have you tried to stop? Your tendency to always want more.
I have not tried to stop.
Your wife never said, Steve, enough.
Oh, jeez.
Right?
No comment.
So what he's saying is his boss, his wife are saying one thing. He's just blissfully, blissfully saying, that's not necessary. I'm just going to keep going. Hey, it got him here.
I did.
That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell. I think it's so important to realize that Vegas doesn't care about winning and losing. They really don't. Now, you might say, how can you be a good team and not win? Well, you can't in the long term. But think about this game. This is the prototypical game. If San Fran misses that field goal, 30 yards, they lose. How differently did they play that game? It would have been 99.9% played the same.
Yep.
To act as if that field goal in any way communicates the truth. What we're trying to do is find the truth, the Vegas truth. The real world reality matters. Doesn't matter to how good the team is. So, for example, and Brad, this is pretty amazing. The impact of this game was gigantic, San Fran winning. So before this game, so entering the week, the 49ers' chance at a first-round bye, this was from 538, was 37%.
Yep.
Their chance now?
64%.
Whew. I mean, that's
almost double.
Almost double.
Yep.
I mean, and let's be honest, a first-round bye is as vital as anything.
Absolutely it is. Keep in mind, the 49ers entered this weekend the number 5 seed in the NFC. They left this weekend as the NFC favorite.
Whew. And that's interesting. I haven't looked at the NFC odds, but I'm guessing you got them, Fez?
I do.
What we got?
Yeah, so San Fran is now the favorite, plus 140. New Orleans, second picked, 2-1.
And right now, am I correct? The Saints are don't even get a bye. Right now, Green Bay is the second seed. I'm almost certain. Take a look, see at that, Brad. So, man, are we? We should figure this out. Just how differently a team. Let's say you took the exact same team and put them as like the 5 seed versus the 2, even, or the 1 in this case. We know on any given home game that it swings it by 6 points. So that's interesting, Steve. So on the money line, if you're a home favorite of -3, what's the Vigless money line?
-150, you win 60% of the time.
All right, so you win. So what you're saying is there's a 20% swing in winning percentage when you flip home.
Yes.
And that's to win the first game. You do it a second game, it's another 20. Wow.
And you are correct, RJ. Right now, the Saints, the 3 seed. Green Bay owns the tiebreaker because they have the best win percentage against conference teams.
So, you imagine the Saints sitting at home. I mean, Rams probably win that game. I mean, the Rams could have won that game last year anyway, but it was in New Orleans. Check that. Is the Rams won that game, obviously, but it was so tight. If that game's in L.A., it's a different game.
Yep.
I mean, look at the Patriots. I mean, everyone says, oh, they play in an easy division, and because of that, they always have a home game and a bye. It's like, okay, if that's the case, then we're just acknowledging how important this stuff is. I don't hear as much about it. Like, I'm hearing a lot of crap, oh, the Cowboys or the Eagles shouldn't get a bye.
Yeah.
Like, byes only seem to matter in certain spots. Yeah. To me, the fact the betting market is saying the Saints are still the second favorite, boy, that surprises me. Who would you take right now? If I took the 49ers because you don't like them in the NFC. You know, this is interesting. This is very interesting. You really don't like the 49ers.
No, I like
them. No. Come on. You got a team with 4 losses ahead of them. How can you say you like them? Don't even embarrass yourself. Just admit you don't. Now, I'll take the 49ers. I'll let you take... Oh, do I let him take 2 teams? First gets next 2, right? That's the way we used to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to think about that. Let's do this. When we come back, I may offer Steve a bet. And we're going to talk about finish up this KC or San Francisco game and get to this KC Patriots game and talk about how egregious the rankings in college were.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell, where we are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will find out the status of a potential bet here live on the air.
Live on air, the sausage being made. Welcome into the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio, up 150%, not 50%, 150 since January. Thank you. It's cause of you. Each weekday, straight from Vegas, 200 FSR stations, also foxsportsradio.com and the iHeartRadio app and SiriusXM and podcast. Just search RJ Bell. Right now on the strip, 62 degrees. Neon is flowing.
So, RJ, we must find out now. You and Steve Fezzik were toying with the idea of a potential bet in the NFC involving the 49ers and possibly other teams in the field.
Well, listen. I was actually listening to her today, and Gonzalez, the tight end, was on. And I thought it was a good segment. A lot of these former players aren't very good on air, but when you get the best shows like Collins, they winnow out those guys. That's for the local stuff. But he said something that was so fascinating. I'm probably going to grab the sound. He goes, I was on set with so-and-so. I can't remember who it was. It was one of the big, you know, obviously the Fox morning or the preview show, right? Pregame show, they call it. And someone took a pick, and Gonzalez goes, you really? He goes, you want to bet that? And the guy goes, oh, no, no, no. It's like, wait a minute. If you're making a pick on the air, you should have an opinion and at least be willing with no VIG to bet a little, you know, yep. bet lunch. No way. Well, listen, we're the opposite. You don't have to agree on a bet here. Literally, if you say it, you are making a proposition to bet. And that's the sound that means someone pressed their green button. There's a bet on. Now, we only bet 100 usually. Now, we've had a couple $1,000 ones. But we only bet 100 just because the suit said we don't want to make flyover country nervous. Now, I didn't call it flyover country. That's what they did. But I said, what do you mean by that? They explained it to me. Like, and I was like, wow, that's not how I think about it. I grew up in Ohio. They just laughed. You know. So I don't know. I'm not judging anyone with that. But what I'm saying is, well, I'm kind of judging the suits, but I don't want to be too explicit about it. But what I'm kind of saying is, we bet. So, Steve, you came in hot today saying San Fran's nothing. There wasn't much. Any team could have won that game. Or, I mean, is that fair?
I didn't significantly upgrade them.
You have a four-loss team ahead of them.
Yes.
Okay. So that's enough disrespect. We're going to do a bet. So I said, I'll take the 49ers. And you can have the next pick, and you think, you know, Saints are just as good. He goes, no, whoa, 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 slow down. Now, you might say, RJ, you said when you pressed the button or whatever, and it was like, yeah, if there's a clear bet, if someone says, I love the Patriots, you know, minus three, boom, you can hit him with the button. But there was no clear bet there, right?
Right.
You know, actually, I do have a clear bet. I'll take San Fran. You can have anyone else. In the NFC, and it's just a one-on-one. We don't have to do a full draft.
Can't do it.
Why? Hold on a second. Brad, the third guy got to make the decision here. Is if there's a clear, he's saying San Francisco, then if I say I'll take San Fran, you take anybody else you want in the NFC, and we got a bet, isn't that a clear one-on-one?
It is a clear one-on-one, but I understand why he's not going to take the bet.
Well, no. That means your understanding is only going to confirm what he said was wrong. That's what you had to be punished for. That's why we do this.
But he has them the best team in the NFC, and they would have home field advantage.
Yeah, I knew that. No, I mean, you guys are right. Yeah. So if you do agree that if you had a team ahead of San Fran in the NFC, then it would have been an auto bet.
Agreed.
But here, all right, so here's what we'll do. Brad saved you. Here's what we'll do. We have agreed to a bet. I've got to give him the next two. San Fran is so good that I've got to give him the next two. So on Wednesday, because Steve takes study day on Tuesday to figure out how good the 49ers are, is on Wednesday, we'll do the draft. I'm taking San Fran. He's taking the next two. Then it's 1-1. Now, I think I should get two after that, but we'll talk about it. But it's 1-1-1-1 probably because Steve, he's been getting beat up on these bets. So he wants to redeem himself. Wednesday show. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Wrapping up this 49ers game, I don't even have to say his last name, Jimmy G. Fez, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good because I love Jimmy G.
Okay, but what did you think about the game?
He came back from adversity twice in this game, RJ. He trailed by double digits in the first half, led his team to the lead, and then at the end of the game, with a minute left, he led his team down the field to the game-winning field goal.
Yeah, I think you're right. Is Jimmy G has had flashes of a really strong performances. I mean, all the way back to him getting a, you know, big contract, even though he hadn't done anything really in the regular season. It's all been optimism, hope, a sense of potential. I think Jimmy G's been a play on potential. This season, you could say maybe not as much, meaning it's more performance. But hey, Kittle or not, they lost at home against their rival, Seattle. That was such, I mean, what was the line on that game?
They were laying
like 3.5. Yeah.
Okay. So even though they were clearly the better performing team record-wise, they were undefeated, right, at the time, if I recall. And we'll pull that up. But either way, that was a bad loss.
Yeah, in a real close game, he couldn't get them over the hump. Lost in overtime.
And now the idea that in another close game, another game with such high stakes, to put him over the hump, it not only might be a sign of how good he's becoming, but we talk about self-fulfilling prophecies. Those can go be positive or negative. In this case, he's feeling good. And let's be honest, Jimmy G doesn't need any more confidence. I mean, meaning who knows what heights he could go to? I mean, if you're asking Aaron Andrews out with your eyes on national TV.
You got that right,
you're
babe.
You're pretty. Oh, now he's doing imitations of Jimmy G. Like he's done him in his sleep or something. So what did we figure out?
I was wrong. 6 against Seattle.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, the Green Bay game was 3.5.
It's funny. When you just look me in the eye and say 3.5.
Ah, I did it.
I don't want to say you're wrong.
Yeah.
I should have.
I love Jimmy G.
His voice, it's disturbing. That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell. Breeze, a lot of talk from you too, Fez. Noodle arm, you called him for a while.
No, I've been high on Breeze.
Boy, everyone's just in their new reality here. You're not telling me that you were saying, I'm worried. I've been like 3 weeks ago, you said he didn't look good in that one game. I'm worried about his arm strength.
I did not say that. Other guys have been saying that. I say that Breeze has been looking good since his 5 weeks off when Teddy took over.
All right. I at minimum, there's been a lot of talk about Breeze's health, his age, and from what I can see, strong performance yesterday. You've actually got a stat saying recently how well he's been playing.
Yeah, in the last four games, if you look at Breeze's QBR just during the last four games, compared to every other quarterback in the league, he would be ranked just in those four games number 2 quarterback overall for the year.
So he's playing at a level now. Who's number 1?
Lamar Jackson.
Oh, there you go. He's playing at a level, Breeze is, which if he played it out throughout the year, obviously he was injured, he'd be the 2nd highest rated quarterback. Correct me if I'm wrong. What was his quarterback rating last year? It was 2, wasn't it? 2. Mahomes and Breeze. So think about that. Now, I know we're cherry picking here, but what is the most relevant number of games? It's going to be the most recent games. They're always more important. Just the public overvalues them oftentimes. There's too much recency bias. Doesn't change, though, the fact that this Saints team with Breeze is playing well, even though they lost. And to show you how Vegas is different, Vegas says, okay, Saints lost. We shrug. No downgrade. 49ers, they win. Half point upgrade. I think it should be more, but still, Steve is more Vegas than me, no doubt about it. Was he 2nd last year?
Yep, 2nd.
All right.
And now we've got another game we want to get to here, RJ, in the AFC and AFC battle. Before we do so, I want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it. With their free same-day store pickup, you can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Get in the zone, AutoZone. A winning streak was snapped at Foxborough yesterday, RJ, as the Kansas City Chiefs go into New England and they beat the Patriots.
Yeah, this was I got to be candid. I love Colin Cowherd on the radio. I so value him as a friend, as a guy that's mentored me. He was wacky today. Colin is crazy was one of our segments. We do it with a smile. This one, I'm not smiling. He led the show. A little smirk. He led the show by saying how this was a bad win for Kansas City. He goes, well, you can have good losses, you can have a bad win. And his evidence was that, well, they didn't run the ball so well. And, well, they were behind in the first half. Or, you know, it sounded like Steve trying to explain one of his crazy takes. We should actually get a list of other people, you know, the sound on it, doing crazy rationalizations to hope Steve can, like, not even say in one moment, like, on the 7th one, he'd come to a realization, like, maybe I do this. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if there's an alcoholic,
yeah,
you might show him a movie about an alcoholic hitting rock bottom, and you're kind of looking at him saying, I wonder if he sees the similarities. I just wonder if Steve would, or he would just keep at it. I think he'd keep at it.
Yeah.
But it didn't make any sense. I mean, Jonas, it's well documented, the rivalry, you know, with you and Colin. But, I mean, how could you come away saying that was not a good win?
No. They needed gadget plays. They needed help to get down the field.
The Patriots did.
Yeah, the Patriots did. And I thought Kansas City just looked like a better football team. Defensively, offensively, they looked like a better team.
I agree. And I do think it really feeds into another general disagreement I have with Colin, which is he will talk about the underlying factors and not what happens on the field. So if you think about it, there's really three levels, or there's actually four levels to football analysis. Number one, it wins and losses. Wait a minute, I have an undefeated team getting points? That's the simplest thing, right? Number two is score. So scoring differential would get you closer. Hey, they won a lot of close games. I know they're wins, but they're not quite as impressive, right? The third one to me is stats. The Cowboys have some of the best stats in the league. In fact, later this week, I'm going to list each of these important statistics, like yardage gained, net yards per play, yards per attempt, one of the great analytical stats, advanced analytics are for a quarterback, and really see where the Cowboys rank, because I'm betting they're in the top six or seven in every stat.
Yep.
So now what's more true, those stats or the points or the wins? And then there's a fourth one way down below, which you probably only use when you don't have any other choice. Speculation. Oh, look at his arm strength. Look at his, you know, for a whole career with Jeff George, you could have done that. If just Odell Beckham, if he just becomes a team guy, you know, one of those things. Well, at some point, that's all talk, right? And it's something fun to do in the offseason. You don't have games to talk about. But when we've got games, are we going to talk, you know, at the end of the year, I don't know, who was the most disappointing baseball team? The Phillies, probably?
Yeah, Phillies. Bryce
they
Harper.
Were right up there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We could look at that Phillies team and speculate with just as much optimism as we did before the year started. I mean, I guess now they're a year. You know, let's say somehow there was a time machine. We went back, but we knew what happened. So we were aware. Imagine sitting around going, I tell you, I think that their new catcher is just going to make all the it's like the catcher didn't make the difference. They were horrible. And it's like we're talking today about teams and we're speculating based on potential. He does that all the time. And I get it when you spend such a long part of the year speculating because that's all you can do. A draft, we're speculating. A free agency signing, we're speculating. But we've got the stats, right? And the stats are, and Fez, you were the first one on this. And I really was, I was aggressively telling Colin this in the last week or two on our podcast. I said Kansas City might be, and this is when he had him out of the top 10. The herd hierarchy said 2 weeks ago, I think it was, Kansas City's not one of the top 10 teams. I was like, wow, you're going to be backtracking on this one. And we broke down your analysis, which I thought was great. They were 4-0 after four games. Everyone had them ranked high. Where'd you have them?
I have number two.
Number two. I would have agreed with that. I think I did at the time, contemporaneously, as they say. Then there was a set of time games, series of games. Mahomes was either out or limited. And the limited is key. The Colts game, for example. And they didn't play as well, which makes sense.
Yeah, and the loss to Houston also, and after his dislocated kneecap, the loss to Tennessee. There's three losses with Mahomes that I'd argue they could have won two of those if Mahomes had been 100%.
I mean, it was just those two or three plays Mahomes makes that others don't. He wasn't able to make them. Since Mahomes has come back and been healthy relatively, the offense is actually better than it was in the first four games because they got back a key playmaker.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill missed four games, and the cheetah is critical to that offense, stretching the field.
He's got like seven nicknames. I mean, I guess since you weren't able to call Osweiler the ostrich anymore, now you got the cheetah. I mean, it's all very Wild Kingdom, though. I mean, I guess growing up, did you watch that? The Wild Kingdom?
Mutual of Omaha, yeah.
Yeah, oh, see? How'd I know? Wow. See, Brad, the more you talk, the more I'll figure out.
Yeah.
And then finally, the defense for Kansas City is significantly better, which makes sense considering they had a new offensive or defensive coordinator.
Yeah, Steve Spagnuolo. And if you look at the Football Outsiders, had Kansas City the number 26 defense last year. This year, they're up to 15, RJ, and improving seemingly every week.
Yeah, if you look at the trend line, for sure is up for the defense. So you add it all up, and what do you got? You literally have the same team plus a better offense than when they were 4-0 because they added Hill at minimum, and Mahomes is now healthy like he was in the first four games. You've got a better defense. You have a better offense. You have a better defense. I mean, we can add it up if we want. Kansas City is better than they were when they were 4-0. At least that's the Vegas truth. That's the truth of it. I don't think many people felt that. Steve, you are in front. I think this win against New England is exposing how good they are. But hopefully, maybe, you know, it's almost like Colin has he wants to make a bunch of future bets on Kansas City. So you come out saying, hey, don't trust your lying eyes. That was a bad win, even though New England had won 21 straight at home. This is one of those bad wins. And they had won, this is amazing, 42 straight games at home when they had both Brady and Edelman start. So they're two key guys. It was, I think, 2009, the last time they lost at home. It might have been 2011. It's been a long time ago. But Kansas City came in, they won, but no cause to celebrate. Well, at least that's what Colin says. I think it's one of his craziest takes. Jonas, can you defend that?
No, there's nothing to defend.
Oh, do you hear the way he was so dismissive?
I mean, you know,
it was dripping.
I will say this.
You got anything else to say?
I mean, New England did get kind of jobbed on a couple of calls. So,
You're right about that. Yeah. You're right. And maybe, I want to dig deeper. I just know people that usually don't complain about calls did complain.
Yep.
We're going to wrap up from the Patriots side what to think from that game.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next here on FSR, we will take a closer look at Monday Night Football, including a best bet on tonight's game. That's next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we are going to get into Monday Night Football after we finish a couple of thoughts on the New England Patriots. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell. Before we get to that, I want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day store pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Get in the zone. AutoZone. As I mentioned, RJ Bell, the voice of Vegas.
Great inside info. I would think someone came and yanked our wires out of the wall, but it happened to be our own researcher that did it somehow. So I don't know. Maybe there's a vendetta against me I didn't know about, but we're back, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, before we get into Monday Night Football, let's talk about the New England Patriots. They are a fascinating story and a conversation as the Patriots look a little more flawed than they have in years past.
Yeah, I think more so than a little. And here's the question we have to ask ourselves always, is once we think we got the truth, and the truth is not obvious in football. The ball is not round. So sometimes teams get lucky, sometimes teams get unlucky. I would make the following case. The Patriots have been net lucky this year. It's hard to say that they should have won any of the games they lost. And not so much that they should have lost the games they won, but more the margin might have had some luck to it. Now, what looks like luck is oftentimes genius from Belichick, too, so we're not sure. But here's what I know. Before we talk too much about the Pats not being good or the Pats' problems, odds are very good that they are 12-4 or better at the end of the year. I would I think the odds are much, much better that they're 13-3 than if they're 11-5. So if the three possible outcomes with three games to go, and I guess they could be 10-6 if they lost all three, but I'd say the reasonable outcomes are 11 wins, 12 wins for the Patriots, or 13. I would make a bet, and Steve's right beside me, Fezzik, we'll see if he wants it. I'll take 13 wins. You take 11 wins. 12 is a push. Nope. He's hurting his neck, shaking his head. No, no. Now, part of this is the schedule, right? We got the Bengals. We've got the Bills at home. And then the Dolphins. So, and the Dolphins are in New England. And obviously the Dolphins played well against them earlier. So it's they always have historically in Miami. So there's always a sense of redemption at home for the Pats. So to me, I don't know if they're going to need it. Though I guess they will for sure, right? Because they don't have the number one seed right now. If we're talking about how bad a team is or how problematic the dynasty's over, but somehow, some way that they're going to likely win 12, if not 13 games, well, the bar is pretty freaking high. And let's be candid, too. The fact that they're booing, their own fans are booing them. And I watched the tape on that. The booing wasn't as much as you might think. So it wasn't super egregious. It was a minority of the fans. The fact that anyone was booing, though, is egregious. So let's agree with the following. The Pats this season, it's not so bad. All right? If anything, it's going to be one of the better records in the NFL. The Pats recently, especially on offense, and with Brady aging, like we all are, but aging to the edge of what a viable NFL quarterback can be, I think there's cause for concern. Brady's QBR this year, I know he was middle of the pack. 18th right now in QBR. So the theory is that's a below-average quarterback. Now, QBR is not perfect, but, man, not what you would expect. So the question you got to ask yourself, Jonas, is do the Patriots have a way out of this? And you would think, O-line's not great. Do they get healthier? Maybe, but they're not going to trade for any good O-linemen. All right, then you think tight end, that's problematic. Fullback, problematic. The one position group that might not be would be wide receiver. Could they pull a miracle there? Maybe. Otherwise, the Pats are not the favorites to win it, though they still are the second favorite to win it in the NFL.
And now, RJ, we do have Monday Night Football here coming up, and it will be kicking off from what looks to be a very rainy Philadelphia where the Eagles are hosting the Giants. On pregame.com right now, Philadelphia is a 9.5-point favorite.
Yeah, and the Eagles now control their destiny. I believe that they're motivated after seeing Dallas lose. I think it goes ahead and makes them being a 5-6-7 team after this win, and knowing they control their destiny, I could only look to the Eagles, who are healthier on offense with wide receiver Jeffrey and left tackle Lane Johnson back.
And so, when you see Philadelphia and you see New York and you see Eli Manning back for the Giants, do you think there's any sort of emotional upgrade there for the Giants, that they're fired up to have their guy back under center?
I think there is an emotional upgrade for the Giants having Eli back behind center. However, I still have Daniel Jones as the better quarterback, but just slightly better by half a point.
Even with all those turnovers, everything you've seen from Daniel Jones.
Well, you know, I'll jump in, Jonas, just for the end here as we're passing the phone back and forth. Is to me, I disagree with Fez there. I agree that the Giants have an emotional upkick here, at least for one game. I also wonder, though, about Manning and being as old as he is, does the time off help or hurt? Because you could think rusty, or you could also think, here's a guy that was tired, an old tired player that had an inordinate amount of time off. That, to me, is the main decision. What I know for sure is Daniel Jones turned the ball over way, way too much.
That's right. He is RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted, Straight out of Vegas. We will be back tomorrow for a full look at the college football playoff rankings and a recap of Monday Night Football. You can check us out 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, Monday through Friday, right here on Fox Sports Radio, and as always, the iHeart Radio app.